From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you.
A lot of our listeners love you for your work with Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. How did that come about?
Oh, in the most boring of ways. They called me up, and I'd never heard of it, which I'm sure they hate me saying, but I hadn't. And so they sent me an audio cassette in the house that I lived at the time. I had an island in the kitchen, and as I suspected it might, it became this place where things piled up. And so the cassette tape from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me was sitting on that island, and I had a nanny at the time, a guy who saw the cassette tape laying there, and he's like, oh, I love this show. He said, you should do this. So using my going on the career advice of my nanny, I listened to it, and it was fun. It wasn't what it is now, because back in the day, we used to, when I first started on that show, we didn't have an audience in front of us.
Really?
Yeah. It got better when, you know, I guess they did some shows where a sponsoring public radio station would bring them into their city and have them do the show in front of a crowd. And, you know, I think from the moment they did that, they were just in love with having a crowd in front of them.
This is one of the few shows that when you fail, it's a mark of pride, really. I feel more and more confident about your ability to protect our Constitution, knowing that you didn't know the answers to any of those three questions.
I'm always excited to hear who the Not My Job guest is, because for some reason, I have no idea why people come do that show. I really can't figure out for the life of me.
I guess they
enjoy the experience. we had a Supreme Court justice one time, and again, why? I don't. You know, it's not like Supreme Court justices do a lot of shows, but there this guy was, and I was able to ask him some penetrating questions about his robes.
Wait, I have to start. Now that you mentioned the robe, this has been eating away at me.
Yeah.
I happen to have OCD. Do you lint lift?
What? Sorry?
Your robe, the black robes,
yeah.
Do they get fuzz on them?
You know, I wondered, was there a ceremony receiving the robe? How do you, you know, what where the robe comes from? And you know the answer? You got it yourself.
Really?
And I was just like, well, that is insane.
You've been great up until now, and I've so trusted you, and I thought we're in good hands. But there's no... You bought your robe in downtown Boston?
Yeah.
Well, you know, as far as getting up on stage and performing, is this something you always felt like you wanted to do? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Massachusetts. The first sentence of the last paragraph of the summary letter written by my kindergarten teacher in May of 1965... says, I have enjoyed many of Paula's humorous comments about our activities. I always loved making people laugh. Still do.
I used to work at the International House of Pancakes. It was the worst job I ever had in my entire life. And I'll tell you something, when people would be rude to me, I would touch their eggs. That's a true story. I just flip them over in the back with my hands a couple of times. They didn't know. I felt better. It worked out.
When did you get your start in stand-up comedy?
I was 19 years old, and I was really, it was the luck of the draw more than anything else that I happened to live in a city, which was Boston, where there was a, you know, open mic scene that had just started up. And so I was really kind of ground floor at that time and started doing open mic nights in Boston, which are those nights where anybody who wants to can go up for 5 minutes and do jokes. I wasn't one of the in-crowd by any stretch, and so I decided to take a Greyhound bus around the country and see what clubs were like in different cities. And I ended up in San Francisco, where I just fell in love with the audiences.
Well, now you're supposed to keep, like, earthquake preparedness kits, too. Do you do that? And me neither. I still share an apartment here. I'm not keeping canned goods in my apartment for an earthquake. If I get trapped beneath a beam for 3 days, I'm at least going to lose weight. I don't want them finding me miraculously at the end of a week being like, well, Chris, she's huge.
What about, you know, the other comics that you were working with at that time? Do you have any stories about, you know, being young comics in the same city?
I used to room with Dana Carvey. Really, he paid for the house that we lived in, we rented, and it was me and his wife, and we put this ping pong table in the basement. It was great. People came after the shows, people come over and play ping pong in our basement because we could make noise. Just the other day, I was at a swing dance class, and there was a band called Stompy Jones, and they were out of San Francisco, and the band leader came up to me and said, you know, I used to play ping pong in your basement.
You know, getting back to Wait, as far as Peter Sagal and Carl Castle go, what are they like? Are they the same personalities that come across during the shows?
Yes. Yes. The joy of my life is when I'm sitting closest to Peter on the little panel table so that I can study him carefully and look for opportunities to knock him off his horse.
Paula, according to a new American health study, yes, you can cheer yourself up and ward off cravings for junk food simply by doing what?
Don't just tell me. Just give me a hint and I'll get it.
Instead of calling Domino's, get out your sketchbook.
Oh, you can draw a picture of the food?
Yes, you can draw a pizza. Apparently, if
that's
if
ridiculous! What the hell do you do all week? I've heard you answer people before about how you write the show, how you research,
and
you find, you know, you find news stories and then you put them. But you didn't do that this week, did you?
And the show is, it's a joy to do because everybody there has the same goal, which is for it to be a funny, entertaining, good show. It's a very, very warm setting. It's everything that you hear over the radio. That's why people like listening, because it sounds like we're having a good time. We're having a great time. And Carl's just he's the gentleman of NPR. He's the nicest guy in the world.
Well, Paula, I want to thank you so much for taking some time to speak with me today. And I know Wichita is looking forward to having you here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being there. Thank you very much. It was nice talking with you.